Good afternoon. I know you say you were in London, so what's the weather there?
Oh, well, here, well, today has been a bit of rainy type of day, but at the moment it's pitch dark.
Have you booked the Antarctic Odyssey? Where'd you get the idea for that book?
Sorry, can you repeat?
I said the title of the book, Antarctic Odyssey. Where did you get the idea for the title of the book?
All right. Well, the title of the book is Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And I came up with that title after selecting, well, I had different ones, but I think I ended up choosing that one because the trip and the experience I had in Antarctica, it was a bit, and it felt like an odyssey. And after that, I felt I was starting all over again in my life. So that's why I chose the title, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you tell us more about the synopsis of the book? Is it a love story? Per se.
Well, it's actually the story of me deciding to join this expedition to go to Antarctica. And that was in June 2007. And after seeing at an event Peter Bland, who is an Australian explorer, talking at an event, and I decided to join the group of people he would take to the Antarctic Peninsula the following year. And the book narrates what happened when I went there, and it's an honest description of what it happened to me emotionally, psychologically, and well, of course, also physically during the trip. The lessons I learned during and after the trip.
Wow. Because I've always heard about the treks being very dangerous and life-risking because of the dehydration strenuous activity to climb. You got to keep up the pace because the surface is not as firm as it looks on TV. It takes some exertion to keep lifting your legs and staying on top of the snow. So a lot of them used to wear these shoes. They look like tennis rackets. I don't know what they call them. But they look like tennis rackets that's tied to the bottom of your foot.
I couldn't understand what you said exactly. Can you repeat? Do you mind?
I said I've always wondered about the truck in Antarctica,
Right.
but I heard it was very dangerous and life-threatening because of the climate and dehydration.
Oh, right. Yes,
The
I understand.
surface wasn't firm.
Right. Well, okay, let me set the scene. This trip, it wasn't like an exploration trip. The purpose of this trip, it was to go there to face one's own fears and limiting beliefs. So it wasn't I would say, what you would call an exploration of the continent. It was a trip that was happening on board of a ship, and there was this group of people from Australia and from Europe, and we went there with the purpose of basically testing ourselves. So during the trip, we did things like kayaking, ice climbing, we camped overnight on the ice, and things like that. But yes, you are right about saying that the climate in Antarctica is quite dry, it's very windy besides being very cold, and yes, you can easily dehydrate, that's correct.
Wow, now, I've heard the rumors about it being 12 hours of darkness and then 8 hours of daylight or something like that.
Well, when I went, it was beginning of March 2008, which is the end of the summertime over there. So you have day and night normally, and you don't have the long hours of darkness. When if you go in winter over there, yes, it's dark all day long, but of course the conditions in winter are really extreme, so that's not when you will go unless you work in one of those bases, you know, for scientific purposes. There are many bases, centers where you know, people work there and etc. Then it's another story.
Oh wow! Oh, you can.
Hello, how are you, Gabriella?
I'm good, and you?
Oh great! I'm so surprised to hear that you're actually from London. My question actually, I want to know is, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm originally from Italy. I'm not British. My surname is Guglielminotti Trivel.
Okay.
Guglielminotti Trivel.
Okay, Guglielminotti Trivel. So, was this, how did you manage to begin the scientific exploration? Was it for science? Were you with a research team, or were you? No, wait, you can't do this solo. Who actually funded this trip?
Okay, as I was just explaining 5 minutes ago, I didn't have any funding. I chose to sign up for this expedition. And I joined this group of people who went there guided by this Australian explorer called Peter Bland. And the purpose of this trip was to go there to test yourself in a way, to face your own fears and limiting beliefs, if you have some, but I suppose everybody's got some. So I chose to go because I, at the time, in 2007, I was coming out of a divorce, and I had trained in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and I was quite intrigued to test myself and see what my fear might be, you know, to be in an environment which is so different from the norm.
Incredibly, I mean, there is an actual native life on there, human life, right?
Well, the only, well, there are, but as I was saying, there are only scientific bases built purposely for that that belong to different countries in different parts of the continent, but they are very tiny little places in a huge continent that you could fit, you know, in Antarctica, it's so wide that you could fit in Europe and Australia together, if I remember right. So imagine a huge land, and in this huge land, there are only a few bases that belong to different states, and they are there, they've been there for some time. I actually, during the trip, I visited one. I visited the former base that was actually called Faraday Station, and belonged to the British to UK. and it's actually the station that was the one that found out about the ozone hole in the atmosphere. But then it was sold for a fee of £1. It was obviously a nominal fee. Was sold to the Ukraine. So now it's called Vernadsky Station, it still exists, and it still goes on with experiments, etc. So during the trip, we visited that station, and it was quite interesting to see what an Antarctic scientific station looks like and is, actually.
I believe it. What is your occupation? Are you a researcher? Do you have a master's degree, a PhD in a field, or?
No, I'm not a researcher. I would say a normal woman. No, well, I am a coach. I'm a women coach, and I just joined this trip, this group of people going there because I trained myself in neurolinguistic programming, which is a training that allows you to become more aware of how your mind works. And I was quite intrigued to test myself and to see how I would perform in an environment so different from the ordinary, right?
Right. Have any fears during the trip or while you were there?
I thought I didn't have any, but I knew before setting off that I would find something along the way. That's normal. And anyway, that was my purpose, to go there to test myself. I have to say that during the trip, something very unexpected happened. So I was tested and I was challenged as well, not physically. For me, it was more a psychological and an emotional challenge. And I actually describe everything that happened to me down under in the book Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. It's a very honest, open, recall of what happened to me, and I just share with the reader everything that went through my heart, my mind, my body.
I see. By any chance, did you have any spiritual revelations? Because I know sometimes when people go on a long excavated journey, somehow along the way, sometimes a spiritual revelation will occur, or like any type of epiphany.
Well, actually, yes, that's why I wrote that book. To be honest, my purpose was to produce a documentary, but I didn't have enough funding or funds myself to be able to take with me somebody to film. So what I've done, I equipped myself with a camcorder, a camera, and a good camera as well. So my intention was to film and take pictures to produce a documentary afterwards. Unfortunately, this didn't happen because an accident happened during my trip. And so when I came back from the trip, I was still trying to still produce a documentary, but I didn't manage. And after 3 years, after I came back, I still had this inner voice pushing me to do something with this. So I eventually decided to write the book. So I wrote the book 3 years later, 2011, and published it in 2012. And in the book, besides the narration of what happened, I also put in all the lessons, spiritual emotional or psychological, whatever you can call, lessons. Yes, to answer your question, I have to say that possibly the biggest and the deepest experience for me that was, you call it a revelation, was the communion with nature. I had two precise moments when I can say that it was particularly interesting for me to experience. When I camped overnight over the ice, I experienced like kind of moments of total communion with nature, and it's something that changes you. And also when I had the chance, it was a sheer chance, I had the opportunity while I was sitting in the dinghy, you know, it's a small boat, waiting to go from the ship on land. A minke whale surfaced just near the dinghy, and I had the chance to look into his eyes, and it was something. It's difficult to record, to say what it was, but in the book I do talk about it and try to explain the feelings that triggered in me, you know. So it's almost like, in a nutshell, it's feeling at one with everything, because you see, Antarctica is such a place that is so remote, it's so pristine, it's so, in a way, just nature in you. And you become very little, or at least you feel very little and optional, for sure. And so, in a way, you feel so, inside your heart, you feel so thankful to have such an opportunity to be there and to be alive with everything else around you.
So it's like you felt a very huge rapport or spiritual connection possibly with that whale. Like two conscious beings staring into one another as if you had some sort of connection.
Yes, I think, yes. You expressed it well, yes.
Actually, an idea. Okay, so let's say it's been about almost 10 years since your last, so 9 years, it's been 9 years since you made your journey. Do you think that you would ever make the journey again and try and recruit, try and do an actual documentary in which you wanted to, like your original vision, your original intent for, well, not necessarily your original intent, but I mean like as a side option of creating a documentary film, because there are actually resources you can use to try and recruit some funding, accumulate some funding, such as GoFundMe or Kickstarter, if you haven't heard of those websites yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't abandoned my plan. For the time being, it's a book, and the paperback is just coming out recently, so it's not just an ebook, but now we can also purchase it on Amazon as a book, as a paperback. And yes, in my heart, I never abandoned the project to make it into a film or a documentary, better. And and see what comes my way, really.
Maybe with advertising the book a lot more, a script writer may be able to read it and create it into a dramatized film of some sort. I mean, did anything in the book, did it for your personal experience, did anything trifle you or hinder you? Like, were there any problems along the way? I know you mentioned one problem about your camera. like anything dramatic that happened to you during the trip?
Well, yes. What happened was the way I lost my gear, it was as follows. We were just reaching the continent, and it was the first day we went on land on the Antarctic Peninsula, and we were preparing to do some ice climbing. And while we were doing ice climbing, we put our gear on the beach, and what happened was there was a huge iceberg not far, and all of a sudden it cracked and collapsed into the sea. And this happened while I was ice climbing, so I was all geared up with crampons and tied up to a rope, and you know, the rest of it. And so I realized what was happening, and it was a dramatic scene to witness, to be honest. And this iceberg was so big, and it really looked like, it reminded me of the sinking of the Titanic in the film. It cracked, and basically a part of it came up to the surface, and it looked like a bow of a ship, and then it collapsed into the sea. But while this was happening, we were all watching this, and it was amazing, but obviously we didn't realize on the spot that this would create a huge wave, obviously. And so it happened. And because it wasn't that far, this huge wave created by the sinking of the iceberg reached the beach nearby where we were. So I had my rucksack with my camcorder and my camera in, and I realized what was about to happen, but there was no way that I could, even if I freed myself from my harness, you know, I still had crampons on my boots, you know, and there was no way I could run on rocks on the beach with my crampons on to fetch my rucksack. So I basically stood there and witnessed everything happening, and it was really, really tough, really surreal as well at the same time. And I mean, it was for me an emotional trauma, because for me, one of the things I was looking for about the trip, it was taking pictures and filming, because I love taking pictures. I love the lights, and I imagined and visualized for months on end, you know, what I would be able to take pictures of, etc. So when that happened, I was frozen.
No pun intended, right? No pun intended?
Sorry?
No pun intended?
Sorry, I couldn't understand.
Oh, no pun intended. You said you were frozen.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you're right.
Okay.
And I was frozen, and funnily enough, I remained frozen for the rest of the trip, in a way, and it took me a few days before I realized I was in this kind of emotional situation. And I started, let's say, between inverted commas, I started to defreeze in a way when I realized that actually I could have lost my life. So to lose just my cameras, it wasn't that important in a way, right? So to have witnessed it all, it was possibly the important thing. And but you know, we are complex being, you know, it's never so easy or so straightforward, you know, like any emotional happening in our lives, it always has so many, you know, fallout on us that sometimes are unconscious.
Yeah,
So I really try to in a way to tell what happened, you know, in the book, because in a way, you know, sometimes you can go through something similar in your life, and you don't need to go to Antarctica. It could be a different happening, a different thing. But we all have moments in our life when something so unexpected, something we really didn't want, happens to us, and we have to deal with it.
Very, very, very true. One little question that bothers me is when you were at the, while you were sleeping, well, first off, actually, the sleeping condition, how you were sleeping, and also, what about bathing or staying hygienic? How does one do that in Antarctica?
Well, we were staying on the ship, so we weren't like kind of doing a, what you might think, you know, crossing the continent, stuff like that. We were based on the ship, so on the ship we had facilities, so it wasn't a problem. But funnily enough, you say bathing. I did swim in the sea, and that that in itself it was an experience. I talk about this as well in the book. It was part of what something I wanted to do to test myself, because I was, I wanted to test myself. So that was possibly the thing I was more afraid of all, and I knew I wanted to do it. And I did it in Deception Island. It was the first place we stopped before reaching the Antarctic Peninsula. And that also, it was another experience of communion with nature, where you enter a different dimension. And it's almost like there is a different part of yourself takes over. Because I can tell you, you know, that day it was stormy, it was snowing and everything else. And to take your clothes off, you know, your different layers, and to jump into the sea is not something that you would do normally. And I remember hearing inside my mind a voice saying, "You're crazy, you're crazy, what are you doing?"
Wait, so when you were swimming in the sea, was there any medical supervision watching you, or were you, and you were swimming also, were you wearing a bathing suit?
Yes, I was in a bathing suit, and actually you can see footage of it on my website, on flyinginspiration.com, on the page of my book, there are some trailers that I created about the book. And in one of them, you can see me jumping into the sea with a swimming costume.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. How long did you stay in the water for? That's a good
question. Yes. Well, okay. Deception Island is a volcanic island, okay? So if you on the it's a basically a sunken caldera. So it was a volcano that many thousands of years ago erupted and sunk, right? So if you on the beach you dig, you know, you can create a pool of warm water. But when I, so this was done by a group of us, but when I arrived at, because I went for a walk on the island, and when I came back, I could see that the others had already dug a pool, and so I jumped into the pool, but the water in the pool, it wasn't warm, it was lukewarm by then. So I remember thinking, oh my God, but this is cold. How can I now jump into the sea, you know? And at that point, I so wanted to do that so much that I just did it without thinking too much. Because if you start thinking, then you just freeze, you know? So I jumped into the sea, and then I went back into the pool that was lukewarm anyway. And I realized, oh my God, I've done it. But then I thought, oh, but I thought I did it three times because I wanted to be sure that I would remember it, you know. So I did it three times, yes. I went in and out, so I didn't really swim for a long time in the sea, but I did went in. I did go into, jumped into the sea and swim for a bit. And the funny thing, in the footage you can see, it's surreal because you can see me going into the sea and you can see the dinghy next to me with all the people dressed with the four or five layers of stuff, you know, boots and winter jackets and all the rest of it. And it's really surreal. And you can see even a seal and a penguin on the beach.
Well, that is honestly very eventful. But actually, we're going to change our first commercial break. We'll be right back with announcements.
Somebody please tell me what's wrong.
You're just a fool, you know you're in love.
What you say?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Okay, Alf, do you have any questions there?
I have one. If you jump in that water, you say there's some parts of the water that maybe it's warm because you're in the... How did your body react to when you jump to the water when it's usually when it was cold, because you went to infant shock?
Well, the I did this in Deception Island, and I was saying it's a sunken caldera, so originally it was like a volcano that erupted and sank into the sea. So basically you have this island which is, looks like a circle, right? So on the beach, if you dig, the water that comes out of the beach, basically, you can make like a little puddle, right? And the water is warm. But when I arrived, and the group had already dug this little pool, and so by the time I took my clothes off and I went into it, the water wasn't warm at all. It was barely lukewarm. So that would have helped you to go then into the cold water. But what I did, I jumped into this lukewarm water, and then I just rallied my courage and I went into the sea. And the sea was cold. But to be honest, it wasn't, I thought I would die, to be honest. I thought I would freeze. Actually, it wasn't, actually, it wasn't that cold. Or in the moment, I didn't experience it that cold. I could see when I came out of the sea that it must have been very cold, because I could see my legs, they were purple, you know, they were really red. That happens when, you know, your skin reacts, your body reacts to being exposed either to very hot or very cold. So it was cold, but you know, the water of the sea has a constant temperature, so it's always 1 or 2 degrees above zero. So it was snowing and blowing wind, you know, so possibly outside was colder than into the water. But yes, you couldn't be able to swim for a long time, because then, you know, you lose the body heat, you lose it very quickly, so.
Because of hypothermia.
Yeah. So the shock in itself, it was when I came out and eventually I put my clothes on and I realized how cold it was, because I could feel the pebbles on the beach stick to my feet, you know, like, because they were, you know, they were frozen. It's like when you touch the, you know, you put your finger into the elements of a fridge, you know, and they stick to it because, or a freezer, right? Because it's...
Because your body temperature is warmer.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was then putting my clothes back on, I could realize how cold it was, because I couldn't get rid of the pebbles stuck to my feet.
Thank you very much. I'm gonna turn it over to Malik.
Right. Can you tell us, the listeners, who they can find your book and how much it's pretty much going for on Amazon?
Sorry, can you repeat? Yes, they can find my book on my website, which is flyinginspiration.com, and from my page called My Book, they can find all the different links. It's available on Amazon, and it's available on Kobo, it's available on Nook, and it's also available on the publisher website, which is the Endless Bookcase. But if they go directly to my website, flyinginspiration.com, and they click on the page My Book, from there they have links to all of these places, so they can, it's much easier. And it's available as an ebook, and it's available now as a paperback as well. on Amazon.
Okay. Now, are you working on a follow-up to this book?
I don't know what you mean with it.
Is there a part two to the book, or are you writing a new book?
Well, I have ideas to write other books, but as I was saying earlier, I would like to still produce a documentary, so I have to find somebody who is interested in transforming it into a script, and then find somebody who might be interested in making it a film.
Because I know you have the BBC channel over there that's like our NPT in America.
Yes. That's another thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the book coming to e-reader? Because I'm into the new portable book thing now.
Yes. It's available as an e-book and as a normal book as well.
Over you, Jay.
Oh, actually, one question I had was, since this is your first book, how many publishers did you take this to until one was approved, or is this a self-published?
No, it is published by the Endless Bookcase, which is it is an e-publisher, so they publish e-books.
Oh, okay. Did you have any other?
I was going to say, would you recommend anyone else taking the journeys that you have?
Well, it depends how courageous you are and what you're interested in life. I wrote this book because I wanted to share my experience with anybody because sometimes, in daily life you have similar challenges and you don't realize, that they are there. In a way, it's much easier to jump into the Antarctic Sea once rather than maybe to face some difficulties that present themselves to you every day, So it's just a different type of challenge, but, the daily routine can be as challenging as maybe jumping into the Antarctic Sea. So with that in mind, I wrote the book because I realized that it's not down to me to judge what my experience was. I learned a lot from reading and hearing other people's stories and experiences. So I felt called just to share this one of mine and then allow it to do whatever it's supposed to do. It's down to the reader, to make their own judgment about it and see and take out of it what they need. We all learn different things from different people in different ways. So maybe my story will talk to some people and they might find it beneficial for them. You don't have to go to Antarctica to melt down, really, because for me it was an emotional and psychological melting down in a way. So you can do it maybe just by reading the book and realize how similar it can be, to your own experience in your daily life.
Well, your website talks about helping the female go to the next level from the feminine cycle. Is that like menopause, you're saying?
Well, I help women to understand how the female cycle interferes with your psyche, with your emotions, with your physical body. So for a woman, it's very important to understand that, because if you don't, you basically live a life which is unaware of your possibilities. And that's mainly what happened to me until I found out about this. And I realized that if I had that information when I was much younger, I possibly could have evolved as a woman in a different way. So I realized the importance of it, and so I started doing what I do now to spread the word to other women, to hoping to help them to feel more empowered. And and also there is an aspect to our physicality as women that is very deep, and it can be a spiritual practice, and it can really help you to grow as a woman into then your wisdom years, that should be what you call the menopause or the years after the menopause. But in our society, and I mean Western society, all this journey is not really contemplated at all, is not appreciated at all. And the menstrual cycle in itself is considered almost a disease, you know. So many women have problems, and they medicate it basically to suppress it. And the same happens for many women during the menopause. So that's not the way it should be. Nature designed us in this way to flourish, not to perish. So my mission is to help women to make their cycle, their menstrual cycle, their best friends, not their best enemy.
Yeah, that's something we need to talk about more in America also.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Gabriella. I'm actually on the website right now, and I had no clue that you have blonde hair, since you said that you were an Italian native. And I'm like, wow, if you have blonde hair? I mean, I'm Italian Muslim in my family, so I have, like, brunette hair. And we don't call brunettes and dark skin, so.
Well, yes. I used to be darker, but now I'm blonde. Well, actually, I'm waiting to allow my hair to be white and flow as pure as white.
Like snow.
Yes. I will become Snow White.
Ernie, thank you very much for taking the time and doing this interview with us.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, I'm a bash.
Oh, well, I can't see you blush anyway, don't worry.
That's Miss Gabriella Guglielmani Triple. Gabriella.
Guglielminotti.
Guglielminotti, yeah, I got it.
Well done.
If the name of your book was Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, you can get a copy of the book at flyinspiration.com. And also on Amazon.com.
Yes, you can also find it on Nook and on Kobo.
Okay. And it also comes in an e-reader. And thank you for spending time with us to share your book. We can put it on the bottom of our message board, so others can go to your site and purchase the book.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.